Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We do have open lines right now, and we'd love to hear from you on this particular Monday edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Richard Piper is here. I'm here. Bob Christopher. And we just want to have a great time talking about this good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that he's alive. I mean, that is the most significant part or piece of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of the easiest pieces to forget for some reason.
Yeah, we really do. But, you know, in this world, we're always looking for hope. We want hope for a better life. We want hope for a better financial future. We want hope for this, hope for that. And any piece of information that can inject hope into our lives, we grab hold of that. Sometimes it's a false hope. Sometimes it's a piece of deception that stirs up hope within us. But in Jesus, we have real hope, and it's because he's alive. And I know there's many people out there struggling with temptation. They're struggling with sin in their lives. And just it's overwhelming. They keep falling back into it. They keep, shouting out to the Lord, crying out to the Lord, help, help. They keep promising to do more. They keep reading their Bibles in hopes to find that, key, that silver bullet that will just, take everything away, and they can just march into victory. Well, it never works that way. No. But the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that's where our hope lies. So if we're struggling with sin, if we're struggling with some temptation, we need to look to Jesus because he's the only one that has overcome sin. He lived a sinless life. Yeah. Now, when he was human, he didn't live as God. He put aside that prerogative, and he chose to walk in dependence upon his Father, to live by faith, just as he's called us to live by faith. And so in doing that, he never sinned. He was tempted just as we are, but even more so. I mean, we give in to temptation. Jesus never did. So there's a point, Satan and the world, they keep intensifying that temptation to us until we give. Well, Jesus went all the way to the limit, and he still never gave in. He still stood independence upon his Father.
Yes.
And so he can empathize with us. He knows us. And he's alive. So he overcame sin, and then he overcame death. And so if those things are going to be a reality in our day-to-day experience, we must look to him and learn to trust him when those temptations come. As 1 Corinthians says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. You know, a lot of times we keep those temptations and those sins secret because we think nobody else has ever fallen to that other than me. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one, and I certainly don't want anyone else to know. That's some of the genius and brilliance, I think, with some of these groups like AA is because, when you first go, you stand up and you say, hey, this is my problem, and you're doing it with a bunch of other folks that are saying, hey, we're right there with you. We know exactly what you're talking about, and you get this sense that, hey, I'm not the only one. So, and here Paul is saying that it's common to man.
Yeah.
Whatever you're experiencing right now, almost everybody has gone through it in some way, shape, or form. And God has proven himself to be faithful. He sent Jesus. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised again. He is alive. You can trust him, and you will find him to be faithful to provide a way out so that you can live victoriously.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. We do have a caller on the line. We have open lines available as well. So go ahead and call at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's go down to Tampa, Florida, and talk with Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? God bless you guys.
Well, and you as well. Yes. Great to hear from you today.
We're just talking, Bob, on Facebook. I don't know if you – yeah, that's me. I called a couple of weeks ago saying how depressed I was, and I was worried about behavior. I don't know if you remember that email. That was me. I wanted to say thank you to all the – for you guys. And I finally finished Simply Gospel, Simply Grace, and it's sunk in.
Excellent.
It's finally sunk in, and – I want to say thank you so much for all the tools. You guys are, to Andrew, to all of our saints out there. Just, it's sometimes it's hard, but we look at ourselves and we're like, it's this good, really? You sure? I don't have anything. Like,
but, it is this good.
Yeah. I also wanted to know, in private time, like me, I feel guilty if I'm not in the Bible, or how do you memorize scripture? Like, do you just keep going over and over? Is it a repetitive thing, or?
Well, here's the way I do it, Jose. First, there was years ago, I used to, pick certain verses and memorize those verses. And that was fine, but I learned that I wasn't really memorizing them in context.
Yes.
And so I discovered later on that context was more important than any individual verse. So I think the best approach is to read big chunks of the Bible at single setting so that you can get a big picture feel. So what I would suggest is this, that, for example, if you wanted to memorize something out of the book of Galatians, just to read the entire book of Galatians, start to finish in one sitting and get an overall picture of what Paul is really addressing. What is the story he is telling in that particular letter? What problems is he addressing? What solutions is he giving? Those sort of things. Just get a big picture look at the book of Galatians and maybe take some notes on it. Write your overall impressions. Write some things that stood out to you. And then here's what I'd tell you to do after that. Read it again from start to finish. And then the verses that stood out to you, go memorize those verses, but you're doing so in the context of the entire letter. And that way, the verse is going to make more sense to you. It's going to be a verse that becomes an applied verse, not just words that you've memorized, but it's a part of a bigger narrative, a bigger story. And it's impacted you in a way that you know how to apply it in your daily life. That's when it not only becomes a memorized verse, it becomes a life verse.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That is, thank you so much. I never did it that way before. I just listened to it. And, all right. Well, I was taught differently, but now that sounds a lot better, more interactive and just more actually soaking it in.
Yeah, Jose,
the big picture.
What you have to realize is God made you a certain way. You have skills for learning and memorizing that I don't have or that Bob doesn't have. So within what we talk about and the suggestions we make, ask the Spirit, how do I really learn this stuff so that it sticks with me? How have you wired me so that I can read and get the context Bob was talking about and figure out how to hold this stuff in my head, and he will show you how to do it. I mean, I'm terrible with words. Every song I've ever played, I know the chords, but I don't know the words. And so memorizing the Bible has been difficult for me until I started doing more like what Bob was talking about and getting up. I literally have to take a picture of it in my head. And so I tend to use the same Bible. I've had the same Bible for years and years and years, and it's falling apart, but I know where things are in that Bible because I've read it so many times. When I get a new Bible, I have to reacquaint myself with location and all of that kind of stuff. So, God has given you particular gifts for how to learn, and he will use those gifts within you to drive home the points he wants to have driven home.
thank you so much, guys. And God bless you. Thank you for everything. Really appreciate you guys.
You're welcome, Jose. Thanks for your call. And, you know, I sure appreciate what the Lord is doing in your life and is giving you that rest and peace in Christ, and you're starting to see his life being lived out through you on a day-to-day basis, and you just keep growing in the Lord, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, God bless, Jose, and thanks for your call. That opens up some lines at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. I think that's one of the most interesting topics to talk about is the Bible, just the compelling story of the Bible. There's not another book on the planet like the Bible.
No.
There's nothing that can stand up to it and be in any, can't even be in the same park with it.
No.
I mean, it is just so head and shoulders above everything else out there. It is clear that there's something supernatural about this word, that it has power to change us from within.
Yes.
And it is a very good thing to memorize, to have this word of God in your memory. But so often, like I said, we do it totally out of context. We kind of pick and choose the things that we like, the things that make us feel good, the things that can motivate us. And sometimes when we do that, we miss the overarching story of the Bible. And God doesn't want us to miss the story. He doesn't want us to miss Jesus. There's so often that we go into the Word of God and we're just looking for things that we're supposed to be doing. And those are the things that we tend to memorize, that we gravitate toward. Lord, just tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, the Bible isn't a story about you.
No.
It's a story about God. It's a story about Jesus. And within that story is a place for us. And so it helps us find our place within the story of God, within the story of Jesus. And that's where those passages that we memorize can really become extremely beneficial to us and powerful to us when they open up venues for us to really take our place within the story of God.
Yeah, and one of the things you'll find happening is that the Spirit will take you to places in the Bible that confirm your faith and build your hope and point you even more strongly to Jesus. So there are many, many passages in the Bible, especially in places like Leviticus or in some of the prophets, that although the information is terrifically good information, it's not the kind of information that is particularly designed to strengthen my faith, especially when I'm a brand new Christian, for example. The passages about Jesus in the New Testament, about his finished work, about eternal life and those sorts of things, that the Spirit will take you there and he will explain that stuff to you. And then, only then, will he suggest, well, why don't we go look at one of these Old Testament stories and let me show you something.
Yes.
That it just works that way. I've seen it over and over again.
Yes, it does. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome your call to today's edition. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Richard, I got an interesting email from a gentleman, and he said this: What happens if I continue to fall into sin? And I think that's a question a lot of people ask, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to read this passage at the beginning of the broadcast out of 1 Corinthians about temptation. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So, and normally when we ask that question, what happens to us if we fall into sin, we're thinking in terms of what is God going to do to us? You know, is he going to punish us? Is he going to wipe us off the planet? What is God going to do? Because I know he's ticked off. I know he's mad. I know he's angry. I know he's just upset like no one else. And he's going to get even with us. He's going to do something to us. But that's not the God of the Bible.
No.
He did something with sin. He condemned it. He judged it. And he punished it. And The death of Jesus was the result of all that. That was the final sacrifice to bring about propitiation, to take away sin, to deal with it once and for all, so that those who are in Christ can stand assured and confident that there's no condemnation in Jesus. He took it. There was once condemnation all over Jesus, not because of his sin, but because of ours. And then punishment followed. That was death. But that finished the whole sin issue as far as God is concerned. But we have to realize that there are consequences to sin. So for men, they're constantly dealing with sexual immorality, temptations along that line, just visual stimulation, just all kinds of desires, what the world is throwing at us. Pornography is just everywhere. It's easily accessible. And so there's that temptation. It's there. It's real. The struggle against it is real. And if we deny it, we're just denying truth.
Yes.
And when we give in to it, there's going to be consequences to that. It's not that God is bringing about those consequences. It's the consequences that are attached to the sin.
Yes.
So most men struggling with sexual immorality, one of the consequences is this unbelievable shame that they carry with them. Mm-hmm. This shame of being, you know, perverse in such a way that would carry them to that extent, whatever it is.
Yes.
So there's this shame. There's this fear of being caught. People thinking, you know, somebody, a man is thinking, gosh, what if somebody finds out about this? I'm not going to look like the good guy that, you know, they think that I
am. The image I've so carefully created.
That's right. That's right. And we try to sanitize who we are. Mm-hmm. We certainly put our best foot forward, whether that's a lie or not. But we, you know, and we call things that we do instead of sins, we say, oh, we just messed up, or it was a mistake, or something along those lines. That just kind of sanitizes the whole thing. And so people don't really see it for what it is. But we know we carry that shame with us. So, you know, there's a fear of what, you know, what others may think. And so we try to hide, and that's when we can start lying and deceiving and putting out this persona that's different. So those are the consequences. And that just happens when temptation knocks and we choose to give in and to sin. Those consequences are there, and those consequences are real. Well, how are we going to get away from those consequences? Well, what happens with most people is they feel so bad about falling into sin that they immediately start negotiating with God. I promise I will do better. I promise I'm going to read the Bible more. I promise I'm going to pray more. I promise I'm going to go to church more. And what they find out is none of those things actually work as far as preventing them from falling into temptation tomorrow or the next day or the following day. But when they fall into temptation the next day or the following day, they make those same promises. And they double down on praying.
Yes.
They double down on reading the Bible. They double down on going to church. But they're doing it through human effort. That's why we have to come back to the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. If he overcame temptation when he walked the planet, when he overcame sin, when he overcame death, we can trust him to do so in our lives. And that's what the Christian life is about. It's a walk of faith. It is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
That's how we live this Christian life. And as we start to focus our minds and our hearts on him, as Paul said, set your minds on things above, as we learn to do that, as we learn to live this life of faith, we see that the strength of temptation is mitigated. It starts to diminish. Why? Because it's not capturing us. It's not capturing our attention. In light of what we're seeing in Jesus, it's just kind of nothing over there.
Yeah.
So that's why the Bible constantly tells us to keep our minds on Jesus, to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we're going to see that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the hope that we have as believers. Sin's real. Temptation is real. It's out there. Temptation is knocking on our door every single day. I mean, not just, you know, once a week, not just once a month. I mean, it's knocking on our door every single day, 2, 3, 10 times
yes.
a day. I mean, you turn on the television, it's there. You drive down the street, billboards, it's there. You talk to friends, it's there. It's everywhere. And then we have flesh hanging on us mm-hmm. that is drawn to those tempting things. And then we have Satan trying to tempt us as well. So we've got enemies, but yet we have Jesus. He's alive, and he's overcome every single one of our enemies. That's why we have hope. That's why we can expect victory in our lives as we learn to trust Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. We, in the last few minutes here, we've got an email from someone named Linda who listens online, and this question ties nicely to what we've been talking about, only in a positive way rather than the negative way. I have gone to a Baptist church for the last several years and felt as though I have been fed. Prior to that, I was baptized Lutheran. I have a little confusion between the two religions. I currently listen to your teaching on the computer. So now she's got three sources of input. My question is not really a question. I'm just asking for guidance in finding God's truth. Finding God's truth in this context is exactly the same as finding the truth in the temptation context. I think tying those two together could be worthwhile.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Richard. Ultimately, our teacher is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
If we've come to Christ, God has given us the teacher. This teacher has come to live inside of us. And so ultimately, we have to trust him, depend upon him to guide us into all truth. That's what Jesus said. When I leave, and it's good for you that I'm going to leave, that I'm going away, because when I do, I'm going to send to you the Comforter, the Teacher, the one who will guide you into all truth. So she has three sources of information coming at her, a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, what she's hearing through our broadcast. And what we would say, and I think it's important that everyone hears this and understands this, you may hear something on this broadcast, and you may like the sound of it, and it may resonate with you. It may touch your heart in a way. But don't believe it just because you heard it on a radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Don't believe it just because you heard it in a Baptist church or a Lutheran church. Take what you heard to the Word of God. Look it up. Look up those passages.
Yes.
Ask the Spirit of God to show you the meaning, to reveal the meaning, to teach you the truth that is going to set you free. If you learn it from me, if you learn it from Richard, if you learn it from a particular church, you will know it on how we teach it.
Yes.
But if you learn it from the Holy Spirit, it's yours.
It's yours.
And then you can start communicating it to others. So the Holy Spirit is ultimately your teacher. The Word of God is the standard of truth. So you take everything that you hear, you bounce it off the gold standard of the Bible itself,
yes,
and trusting that to the Spirit of God to teach you the meaning of it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for joining us on today's edition. We'll be with you again tomorrow for another live edition of the broadcast. If you have questions, concerns, we're going to continue to talk about how to overcome temptation, how to live victoriously as believers in Christ, how to truly learn to say no to sin. So join us tomorrow for that broadcast. Write down your questions. We would love for you to call and ask them on tomorrow's broadcast. As always, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program. We rely on contributions from people just like you to help us get the word out. And I think that's the most important thing that we can do as believers, is to get the word out into this world today. Well, for Richard, for Greg, for the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow.